Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
That, of course, is Embryonic Journey by, what is that? Who is that by? I forgot. No, I know. I don't.
I have no idea either.
I have not a clue.
Grace Slick, who is she with?
Oh, not an idea.
Nah, never mind. But anyway, it's Embryonic Journey. It's Jefferson Airplane, actually. I'm looking at it. It's right here.
I
was going to say, it came from your library, not mine.
Yeah. Hey, it's another Thursday, and this, of course, is LA Talk Radio. And you are listening to The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, in the studio tonight with Richard Polinelli sitting over there looking at me like, huh?
As I always do.
And a treat, a rare treat. We have Bobby Jean Bell sitting in studio with us this evening.
In studio. Back in the studio after 4 months out of the area.
And we have missed you.
Thank you. But, you know, I love talking to you every Thursday. It's like I'm right here.
Yeah. Well, we just had our guest on the phone, and he's sitting here, too.
Yeah, so, it sounds just like he's here.
Yeah, I know, huh? So it's really great. We have a wonderful guest tonight. So make sure you all stay tuned, because we have the definitive guest on tonight. So, Richard, let's hit this puppy off, and let's get going.
Okay. If you are a first-time author and just typed those golden words, the end, on your very first manuscript, you're sitting there thinking your work is all done. You can just sit back and watch those royalty checks just roll on in. Nope. That is not how this works. It's not how any of it works. You have to have that thing edited. You've got to have it formatted. You've got to create yourself a book cover. And then you get to do the stuff like marketing and go on radio shows and all that. You need help. And the people at Tuscany Bay Books and Black Dog Publishing .com
.co
are here to help you out. I knew I was going to fumble that one tonight. They will get all the heavy lifting done for you. Get your book ready. Get it out on the shelves. Get your book sold and make you some money so you can do the next important thing, which is to write your next book.
Yes.
So for more information on the program, you can call Tuscany Bay Books at 805-795-3165 or email them at jchristina@tuscanybaybooks.com or check out the website at blackdogpublishing.co. Leave the M off, and they will get you on your way to publishing success. And Tuscany Bay Books is going to be well represented. I can speak English tonight.
I don't know how. But
I don't know how. Okay. At this weekend's Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. So Jim and I will be there with plenty of our books.
Oh,
I'm
well.
Going to offer to the first 25 people who show up a free audiobook download of my book, Escaping Infinity, for every book you buy. So come on out, and you get two books for the price of one. Can't beat that deal.
No. And Richard thinks this whole show is about him.
That's true. Hang on. I'm segueing here.
Hey, talk.
Hat size. Now, while this year's festival is about to begin, it's not too early to get ready for next year's festival. And here is our very good friend, Bobby Jean Bell, to tell you how to do that.
Or for Mother's Day or Father's Day, right around the corner, Out West Shop is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and Western lifestyle. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel, fashion accessories, home decor, and general merchandise. National brands include Rockmount Ranchwear, Scully Leather Company, and American Handbags, West Handbags, just to name a few. Shop online at www.outwestshop.com. And we have a special. Enter code WB for Writer's Block, WB100, and receive $10 off your order. And if you'd like to chat with me or my husband, Jim, we always answer the phone toll-free at 1-877-340-9378.
That's cool.
Happy to be here.
Oh, it's really great having you sitting in here. Well, since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service, TFM truckload, and LTL service that is the best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they work hard to make your full truckload shipping experience or LTL experience unparalleled using their customized traffic movement program. So call TFM Truckload or Target Freight Management, LTL, today. 844-653-7789 puts you into Mike Matruski's desk for truckload. Or call any of the fine account managers at 888-653-1323 for LTL. Tell them you heard it on the Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. Or if you prefer to work online, you can go to www.targetfmi.com. Okay, I'm so excited to do this. We actually have been talking about this author since last, I think, July.
Mm-hmm, yeah, easily. Yeah. I remember you called me and said, oh, you'll never guess.
Yeah, well, you know, here he is. Tonight's author is, he's an author of 28 Prey novels, 4 kid novels, 10 Virgil Flowers novels, 3 young adult novels co-authored with his wife, Michelle Cook, and 3 other books. John Sanford is a pseudonym for the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist John Camp. Would you please welcome to the Writer's Block, Mr. John Sanford.
Yay!
And I'm going to assume that you're still here.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, good. Okay.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Writer's Block. It's just
thank you.
It's truly an honor to have you on the show with us, and it's like waiting for Christmas for this to come around to April so we can get a chance to talk to you live and in person. So we're really pretty appreciative of you taking your time to sit here and chat with us for a little while.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to do it.
Oh, well, we really appreciate it. I have to tell you that being a huge fan of Lucas Davenport and Virgil Flowers, and I've only read one or two kid novels, but your books absolutely just have fascinated me from day one. And my sister turned me on to him a while back and said, you know what, you got to read this guy. So I did, and then I read the other one. And by the time I'm finished, I'm looking at my 27th Prey novel. I'm going, wow, the guy's made it up from being a small-town Minneapolis cop to what is it, BCI, and then up to Marshal Service.
Yeah.
That'd be Lucas Davenport. And he's mm-hmm. just a terrific character. John, where did he come from?
Where do I come from?
No, not he. You're Lucas Davenport.
Oh, the thing is that I spent so many years, I was a reporter for so many years, most of my career I hardly ever edited. I was just mostly out on the street. And when you have the kind of job I did as a general assignment reporter, you wound up hitting an awful lot of cop stuff mm-hmm. because, you know, it's sort of cops, city hall, courts are sort of the bread and butter of all reporting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, over the years, you kind of a composite forms in your head. And one of the things is that you see a lot of cop stuff going on that is really, really odd, is really unusual. You see the same thing in Michael Connelly's books in L.A., mm-hmm. Where you hit just a lot of idiosyncratic kind of cop stuff that goes on. And eventually, you just kind of, I started putting together a character. But he's not, he's sort of a cross between movie stars and cops. He's not, Michael Connelly's books are much closer to, say, the pure kind of cop story than mine are. Mine mm-hmm. are a little bit, what do you want to say, a little bit more fictional.
Right.
So, but basically it all comes off the street. It really comes out of a reporting experience.
Well, Lucas Davenport is anything if not, he's certainly not mainstream. I mean, here's a guy was a police officer and then retired and got into computer games and yeah. sold that out and went back to work for the cops.
Wealthy, independently
wealthy. He's a millionaire cop. I like it.
Yeah. And took, he's good looking, too.
Yeah. And, he, and it took him a long time to get married, but when he did, he did. So. There, your books are I have to say, having read almost all of them, it seems like each story, you put your twists and turns into each story in such an appropriate place that you're not even expecting it when it hits. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you go, oh, man, yeah. Where did that come from?
I know. I was telling Jim that I gasped at something this morning at 2 o'clock, and I was reading, and then I kept reading, so I don't recall exactly what it was, but I was like, oh my gosh, it was such a surprise. It's why we keep reading and turning those pages.
John, how long?
Well, somebody.
Go ahead.
You know, somebody once said that if you don't know what to do with a story, you have a guy come into a room with a gun, some, you know, noir writer from the 1940s.
I like it.
And the thing is that some of the unexpected stuff winds up being in there just because it's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
At other times, you kind of get yourself written into a corner, and so you say, you know, now what am I going to do? Well,
right.
You have a guy come into the room with a gun.
Right.
And that is not a literal thing, but I mean, you know, somebody gets shot.
Right.
Some weird thing happens that kind of falls off the wall. Sometimes, you know, you just kind of pull it out of a dark place and stick it in there because it seems to fit and seems to work out. And it also keeps the reader a little bit off balance, which I think mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. I think most readers kind of like that sense of not mm-hmm. quite,
right.
you know, having a tight grip on what's going on.
Well, you're right, we do. And in this book specifically, because this book was so much fun to read,
mm-hmm.
this is a whole new Lucas Davenport for me. I he's now a U.S. Marshal. So he's kind of like got the run of the country, and he's dealing with people that are just, I mean, as good or better than the people he used to deal with in Minneapolis. And he's just, Lucas is such a fun character. He's just, I mean, he's just a fun guy. And for you to come up with him is just wonderful.
He really thinks out of the box.
He really does.
You know, he throws out ideas as they try to solve this. And people look at him, even really experienced, you know, folks, and say, I don't think so. And he gets an idea, and, you know, he goes and nails that down.
That's true.
When will this publish, John? Because I think it's...
Tuesday.
Yeah. So when can our listeners order this book?
Well, it's the official publication date is next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know why books always come out on Tuesday, but they do, and this will be next Tuesday, and they're kind of slotted in different sales slots, just mm-hmm. like movies are,
mm-hmm.
Where you try, you know, not to get stepped on by Stephen King or somebody, you know, so you'll hit higher up the bestseller list.
Sure.
And then... So, you know, they kind of maneuver them around and try to find a good spot for the publication to take place. And it'll vary, in my case, a couple of weeks, you know, either way from the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it is what it is that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. How long do you plan on keep writing Lucas Davenport?
Well, you know, that's sort of up in the air. I'm getting older. I'm 74 now.
Uh-huh.
But I know guys who are, you know, like in their 80s who are still riding strong.
Mm-hmm.
And Clive Cussler. And so, you know, it just depends on when I run out of steam. And I was sitting around, you know, like I talk about this book now, Twisted Prey, which is coming out Tuesday.
Right.
Well, I finished that at the end of last year. So now I am finishing a book, a new Virgil Flowers book right now, but this afternoon I was talking to my wife about the next Davenport book,
uh-huh.
which I'm going to take a couple weeks off, and then I'm going to start the new Davenport book, and we were kind of kicking around ideas for that, so it's just like a continuing process that never stops. Sooner or later, you suspect you're going to burn out, but that hasn't happened to me.
Uh-huh.
Jim's over here doing a happy dance when you see
I really am. I'm grinning from ear to ear. I'm dancing under the table, John. I really am.
Hey, John, do you ever find yourself at some point getting sick and tired of writing a character and just wanting to get rid of this one, whatever, you know, guy, girl, whatever? Just say, I'm done with this one and bump him off just to be rid of it? Or do you just try to keep him around just to see how much trouble you can get him into?
Well, you know, the thing is, And I don't want to sound too cynical about this, but most most characters tend to be the same characters anyway. I mean, you know, like Virgil Flowers is sort of like a version of Lucas Davenport, and he's sort of a lighter, funnier version, but I've always used, you know, some humor even in the Davenport books. Mm-hmm. And so if I were, say, to start another guy, most likely, frankly, it would just be some slightly different version of Davenport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the problems that a lot of thriller writers have now is that so many characters are almost exactly the same from one writer to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can just lay it down. Now, you need a guy who is who's tough and has got some, you know, lethal skills. And so where was he? He was in the military. He was in some kind of a dark outfit.
Right.
He learned how to, you know, kill with a toothpick. He's disillusioned with the world, and so he comes back, and there's some maiden who needs to be rescued, and you can kind of lay down all those characteristics, and you can find 15 writers who are working that right now, whose characters are virtually all of the same, and the thing is that you avoid it a little bit with the cop. With cops, because cops are sort of not on trend right now. Michael Connelly, Robert Crace, who works out there in Los Angeles, a couple of other guys do cops, but I think that we're sort of not in the peak of fashion now. Right now, the fashion is for these loner kind of former military guys who are trying to get over what they did in Afghanistan and wind up coming back to the United States and killing everybody in sight.
Sort of like the Jack Reacher books, that kind of book?
Well, the thing about Reacher is that Reacher wasn't unhappy in the military. He wasn't really... Reacher's another kind of unique character. He is like a cross between a military guy and a cop. And there wasn't anything mysterious about him. He was a cop in the military.
He was a lone wolf.
So he does have these skills, but he doesn't. There's nothing mysterious about them.
Yeah.
And he just kind of wanders around the country on Greyhound buses and wanders into one adventure after another. And so he's a little bit different than what I'm talking about.
Okay.
These cookie cutter kind of guys. He's not a little bit different. He's a lot different. He was like the first character of that whole sweeping genre, and he continues to be a good one.
Mm. Yeah.
John,
the thing about all this, and I don't mean to.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't mean to, you know, to dominate the discussion.
Oh,
here.
Please
yeah,
do.
No, we want you to.
but I'm a fan of all these guys.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I think that maybe the best way to decide if you want to write. The best way to decide what you're going to write is to figure out what you're a fan of.
Right.
And if you're not a fan of anything, then maybe you ought to write movies or something. Or something that you are a fan of.
Having had a number of screenwriters in here, we would agree.
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, like my wife went to L.A. With her first husband, and she decided she wanted to be a screenwriter, so she wrote a screenplay and it got made. It was like the first one she'd ever written. And then, for some other reasons, she had to stop because there was a conflict of interest involved, or at least some people thought there were.
Mm-hmm.
But screenwriters are extremely interested and very good, interesting and very good craftsmen.
Mm-hmm.
But they like movies, and they're movie fans, and they know everything about movies, and they know who the movie stars are. I have trouble remembering, you know, what movie stars' names are, and these
yeah.
are the biggest guys. I mean, I can never remember George Clooney's name when I'm supposed to.
We'll ask you that a little later on.
but the thing is that I'm a fan of these of all of these writers, and you know, guys like C.J. Box and Stephen King, for that matter.
Uh-huh.
But it's just that that there's now this group that's kind of going through the whole writing process who have very, very, very similar male characters.
Uh-huh. Well, I want to ask you a question about a female character from this book. And, of course, we don't want to give anything away. It was delightful that we all got to read a book that hadn't even been published yet, I have to say. That was really fun. Yes, that's right. Two of them. Taryn Grant, tell us a little bit about this gal and how you've crafted her.
Well, you know, when you're putting a character together... with me, and I don't know how it is with other writers, but with me, it's not an inspiration. It's an engineering thing. You know, you start. You've got a woman that you want. You want her to be bad. You want her to be an evil character
to the core.
But on the other hand, you want her to appeal at the same time to your readers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put Taryn together. You know, and she's smart. She's rich.
Yeah.
She's really good looking, and she is really tough. And she's violent, and she's also a little crazy. And so there are a lot of things in here that I want my female readers, in particular, to find interesting,
mm-hmm.
and in some ways admirable. And I want maybe some people to be a little disappointed by what happens to Taryn in the end,
mm-hmm.
Which I won't get into. But the thing is that that she really, like most of my characters, is an engineering job.
Mm-hmm.
So the fragrance that she wears, Black Orchid, is I want to go to a fragrance counter. Is that a real fragrance, or did you create that?
That's a
real fragrance. I have to go smell that.
and I'll tell you, it's an interesting scent, I don't want to say stinky, but it's musky,
mm-hmm.
and it will sort of turn your head around. It's not a flowery kind of thing.
Right.
It'll
yeah.
grab you by your shirt and mm-hmm. kind of give you a shake.
It sounds exactly like what she should be wearing.
Yep.
Especially the color black.
Yeah.
You know, this particular book, you threw in all of your major characters. They all had little cameos in here. You had Kid, and you had Virgil Flowers, and of course Lucas, and you mentioned the governor of Minnesota, or the anyway, Lucas's old boss, Roe, whatever, I don't remember her first name.
Right.
And, I mean, there's a lot of people that just kind of floated in and out of this story, which was kind of fun because, you know, if you're a fan, you like these people, and all of a sudden they show up, and you go, oh, cool, you know, they're there.
And if you're just reading for a first time, it's a standalone. It makes references to some past cases, but
right.
you don't feel as though you're lost.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Well, you know, you're when you do that, you're kind of walking on an edge because you have... you have fans who like to see people that they know. On the other hand, you're trying to attract new people, new fans, and you don't want to confuse them. So sometimes that gets complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I have one character that shows up just every once in a while, but she was in about the first half dozen books very heavily, and that's a nun who works at who's a college professor, and her name is Elle, Sister Mary Joseph. She's an old friend of Lucas from the time that they walked to kindergarten together at
right.
Catholic school in Minneapolis. And but I have a hard time fitting her into the stories now because Lucas is now running around the countryside, and so it's been a while since she turns up. And when I go on book tours and you know, talk to people, a lot of people, almost every time, somebody will ask me what happened to Elle because they like her as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Davenport's oldest daughter, Letty.
Right.
My publisher would actually like me to write a book with Letty as the main character.
Uh-huh.
But it's just tough. I mean, you know, like then you have to go through the whole process of introducing somebody over again.
Right.
And,
right.
I can't. If somebody would tell me what Letty could do, that would be both violent, investigatory, and. You know, and it's kind of a credible story.
Uh-huh.
I'd probably write the book, but I haven't been able to figure that out myself yet.
Yeah, well, she came from a violent background. Letty did. I remember when she showed up, and she
barefoot. She came from she came from a really deprived background, and,
right.
and what she did was her mother was a severe alcoholic.
Right.
Her father had taken off, and they didn't know where he was. And her mother was killed. And Letty, because her mother was so, they lived out in the most barren part of Minnesota, and she went around and she trapped muskrats out of the swamps up there, out of the watery parts up there, to try to keep her head above water and go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really this really tough little girl. She was, I think she was 8 or 9 in
right.
the first appearance. And she, when her mother died, Lucas Davenport adopted her. It took a while, but that's eventually what happened. And then they became very close. He took his parenting thing very seriously. But at the same time, he recognized the fact that she has almost a sociopathic streak in her. He tries to kind of modify that. But on the other hand, he admires some of the things that, some of the characteristics mm-hmm. that she has. And so they go out to the range and they shoot together. And Lucas is sort of a gun guy. And so now Letty is sort of a gun guy, but now she's going to Stanford University.
Right.
She's about to graduate, and I would like to get her into some kind of a book, but I can't think. I mean, you know, what does a 22-year-old kid do, you know, that involves, you know, jumping out of airplanes and international relations and all that kind of stuff? I don't know.
You'll
figure
that out.
She already threatened to get even for the guy who hurt her mother.
I don't know, book 29 or 30, I think. John, this is your 28th in the Praise series. Did you, in the very beginning with the first book, and you titled it with Pray in the title, did you anticipate or already plan that every book would have the word Pray in the title?
You know, I can't think of titles. I've heard a story, and I don't even know if it's true, that they had the company paid a consultant in New Jersey, supposedly the story went, to come up with that first title, Rules of Prey. And I mean, it kind of bothers me that there might be somebody out there, you know, who makes a living coming up with titles, but maybe there are, I don't know. But anyway, that's the story I heard. And then, what happened was that I was working for this newspaper in Minnesota, and I won a Pulitzer, and they gave me a $50 a week raise, and I went home and I realized that I couldn't afford to send my kids to the state university, and I only have two kids. And so what I did was I realized I had to change careers somehow, because I had a lot of family obligations that I had to deal with. And so when Rules of Prey came out, they paid me a lot of money for it. And then it was a two-book contract.
Mm-hmm.
So when they said, why don't we name the second book, and the third book, and the fourth book, and the fifth book with this Prey title, I would have signed up if they had suggested, you know, it would be Hitler Pray.
So they were an answer to prayer, huh?
You know, I just wanted to get the books published.
Sure.
I mean, I was desperate to get the books
sure.
published. So whatever they suggested, I was willing to go with.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Well, now, I mean, now you're a Pulitzer Prize winner. You're a New York Times best-selling author. Is there anything else on your bucket list that you really feel you have to do?
I really, really desperately want a Grammy.
I'm sorry, pal. I don't see that happening.
I'll tell you. Last Friday, I have a little studio that I work in, and half the studio is given over to guitars. And I've got a friend who's a blues singer. He's got a blues band. His name is Otis Taylor, and Otis has done a lot of movie stuff. I mean, he did a Johnny Depp movie, I think, called Public Enemy, I think might have been the name of it, and he did the songs for that movie and a couple of other movies. And Otis is up here, and we laid down some tracks using my GarageBand, which just comes as regular software with an Apple computer. Mm-hmm. And now Otis tells me he's going to write a song about the tracks we laid down because it's so good. I find that extremely interesting. And if I don't get a Grammy, I'm going to kill myself.
I was going to say, so anyway. A Grammy is in your future, I can tell.
Yeah, we'll certainly be watching for it.
with 28 books just alone in this series, my only other question is, do you ever forget or get confused, or do you keep notes on each character and every book, especially as you might reintroduce somebody or you make a reference to something that happened in a previous book? How do you keep it all straight?
I really don't, is the honest answer to that. I can never remember Davenport's kids' names. I know that he's got a son named Sam, but I'm trying to think of what his youngest daughter's name is, and I can't remember it. And and I get, you know, I have to look stuff up. My son keeps track of a lot of this stuff for me. Mm-hmm. He lives down in San Diego, and we go back and forth on the website as I'm writing this. So it gets really, I mean, I never thought there'd be 28 books. I mean, but I will tell you that there are some tricks involved, okay? And one of them is that I am nothing like Lucas Davenport, but I am, I went to Catholic school. I am the same height that he is. I don't have nearly his musculature, but I also have blue eyes, and I had dark hair. So that Davenport doesn't look at anything like me. He's much more square than I am, but I don't have to remember what color his eyes are, and I don't have to remember what color his hair is. I don't really have to remember, you know, how tall he is or any of that kind of those personal characteristics, because they're the same as me. And you'll notice that Virgil Flowers, although he has blonde hair, is about the same.
Right.
So what you do when you've got a lot of character is you either pin them to yourself or you pin them to somebody that you know well.
Yeah.
And those people will never understand that you're using them as models. They just don't. People don't see themselves in books.
Yeah, but don't tell them.
But once you have that, then all you have to do is remember, okay, this guy is modeled after Mike, and you've got a specific image in your mind that you can write.
Well, I'm gonna cut you here for just a minute. We're gonna do a real quick 30-second spot, and we'll be right back to you. So hang tough. Don't go anywhere, please.
All right.
Okay. Imagine deep blue skies, majestic mountains, and acres of lush green orange trees in a tranquil country setting. Sound like a perfect vacation spot? It is. For your dog. That's right. All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover is the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. Whether you are going away for one or two nights, getaway, or an extended vacation, All Dogs Rule is the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. Except your dog, Richard, and that dog runs like hell when he sees you. When your dogs return home, my dog does too. She runs right to Richard.
Yeah.
When your dogs return home, you'll have to ask, whose vacation was better, yours or the dogs?
The dogs.
The dogs. Check out their website, alldogsrule.com, or give them a call, 805-524-1100, and your dog will thank you, and I know that you're going to love having your dog there because it's going to give you a weekend away without having to take care of the little critter. Okay, it is 7:33. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. Bobby Jean Bell is here in the studio,
it's
just
so
grinning
fun.
From ear to ear. Uh-huh. She's like a Cheshire Kitty. And on the line, we have John Sanford. Mr. Sanford, are you back with us?
Yep.
Okay.
You know, I need that dog place. I just went on a 7-day trip. I'm neurotic about my dog.
Oh, me too.
Week long trip, and you know, I spent the whole week worrying about whether the dogs are going to be okay. I've got one sitting right next to my feet, looking at me right now.
I have a golden retriever, and we took a cruise about 3 years ago, and we had to send our dog to a dog babysitting place. Mm-hmm. She was there for like 7 days. And I called every day. How's my dog? How's my dog? And it's really hard calling from Alaska on a cruise ship. But I managed to get through, and they, your dog's doing fine. Your dog's doing fine. They're sending pictures, and, you know, here she is, one happy golden retriever, wagging her tail and giving you the squishy looks. And you get back, and the dog just goes, meh, you're back. I don't want to leave. So I got over missing my dog real fast.
John, you fill this book with all kinds of fun things. You know, I'm somebody that has a really hard time thinking up new passwords for all of those various websites and things that we have to have passwords for. And they're trying to break open a code and for something, a phone or whatever. And the character had used a bill, you know, a piece of currency, and had used the numbers from the. Did you just think of that, or had you read about that? You just give us all kind. You know, I was like, oh, that's what I need to do. I need to be carrying around a dollar bill and use that code on there.
Well, you know, the thing is that I started writing about computers back in the 1980s, and I've always kind of been a computer guy and kind of followed around with it. My son is too, I now have, you know, if I lose my telephone, I'm in serious trouble, because I've got it. You know, all the passwords are stuck away in one of those lockbox kind of things that take, you know, 45 numbers to get into the lockbox,
right,
or something,
right,
like that, and then you find you've got 50 passwords in there, and all of those have got 45 numbers. So if I just want to buy, you know, like a box of doggy bags at Amazon, you know, I've got to put 200 numbers into my computer. I don't know, you know, so I think about things like telephones and computers. And the other thing is that as a former journalist, I'm always reading news stories about how people are caught, how people are picked up. And if you read them recently, Davenport even talks a little bit about it at the end of the book before this one, Golden Prey, in which he said, sooner or later, somebody will be convicted of a crime that they prove because he didn't have his cell phone with him, because now everybody has their cell phone with them all the time.
All the time, yeah.
And so now the cops are tracking people through their cell phones, proving that they were in such and such a place at such and such a time. I find this whole computer culture thing to be sort of frightening, but also extremely interesting. And it makes it harder for, with all the stuff that they've got, it makes it harder to write a mystery now, because, you know, your guy essentially has to be covered himself with plastic, you know, before he commits a crime, or he's going to leave DNA behind, and that
right.
would end the story.
Right,
or
right.
he's going to have his cell phone with him, and that's going to end the story. And so now a lot of thriller writers, when you read them, they'll talk about, you know, taking the batteries out of their phones and throwing them out the window and doing this, because so much stuff now is about this computer culture where mm-hmm. everybody knows where you are all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They know what kind of stuff you're buying. They can look and see what you got at Amazon. They can do, and when you're talking about criminals, that becomes a pretty powerful thing as far as gathering evidence goes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to deal with that as fiction writers. But actually, it makes the job harder than it does easier. And at the end of Rules of Prey, the very first Davenport book, which came out in 1990, I think, there's a scene at the end which is supposed to be kind of funny and kind of weird at the same time. They need a quarter for a payphone, and neither one of the cops has a quarter. Now you couldn't find a payphone.
Right. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
since I started writing these books, payphones have disappeared.
Right.
Exactly.
And there used to be one in every store, and now they're gone. Mm-hmm. So
and gas stations.
That's true. Stuff. They used to be all over.
All over. Yeah. You don't find them anywhere anymore.
Now there's none.
Yeah. And you have to really stay current with what's going on with technology or with firearms or, you know. So do you do a fair amount of research to keep on top of the newest, you know, developments in these areas?
Well, I've been a hunter since I was a kid. I no longer hunt because I just don't want to kill anything anymore. But I was a hunter for a good part of my life, so I knew something about guns, and I knew something about shooting, and I knew what happens when you shoot a large animal like a deer. And so I've seen a lot of gunshot wounds like that. And then, of course, I saw wounds when I was on the street, and I also did a lot of the newspaper business was essentially a research thing for me. I actually wrote a nonfiction book on plastic surgery, and I saw like 100 surgeries. And then I got interested in medicine, and the newspaper is pretty much letting me do what I want. And so I did a series of stories about burn treatments, and then I did a series of stories about medical emergency evacuations and helicopters and stuff. And all of that provides this kind of background for stuff. But the gun thing, for example, most reporters don't know anything about guns, but I did. And when I got, but I knew that that was a problem, that reporters didn't know about guns, and I was afraid I didn't. So Davenport originally carried a .45 with him. Mm-hmm. And the reason he did that is because when I started writing these books, I went out and bought a used .45 so that I would know exactly how it worked. I used to go out and shoot it. And since then, I probably have, you know, four or five handguns now. I'm starting to get rid of them. I don't really like to have them around. But I know mechanically how they work. I can take them apart. I can put them back together. And so you will find references to that in virtually all of my books. And I don't exactly consider that research, but I guess it is in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very disconcerting when people, when you read a book and somebody says something that's supposed to be kind of a background fact and it simply isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about fake news or political stuff, but I'm talking about mechanical stuff,
right.
You know, like how this works, and you
right.
know, well, that's not right. Until a couple of years ago, I was in a situation where people would ask me about a particular error that was in one of my books involving a gun, and that is that I had a situation in which a guy walked into a room to kill a police officer, a woman police officer, and he clicked the safety off on his pistol, walked into the room and shot her. That pistol has no safety.
No safety.
And I heard from 800 people about that. And not only did I hear from 800 people about it, I had a woman stand up at one of my tour talks, and she was asking the question for her brother because her brother obviously thought I was an idiot. And what actually happened was that I was actually trying to be more accurate. I had the cop carrying one gun, and then I talked to a cop from Minneapolis. He said, "We're not allowed to carry those anymore. Now we've got to carry the issue guns." Well, the gun that the cop was originally carrying does have a safety. And what I did was, when I found out that they had to carry Glocks, which don't, I went through with that, you know, that search and replace function on your computer,
mm-hmm.
and I changed all the Berettas to Glocks, but I had forgotten about that safety thing. So when the book got published, the Glock has a safety on it now, which they don't have, and then you'd be amazed at how many people are really, really interested in calling him and telling you about that. I mean, you know, it really is pretty amazing.
They're really reading.
And if that's all they have to do, I mean, you know. Hey,
no, I think a lot of this thing is well meant, and they're interested.
Of course.
They're saying, you know, you messed up, and so one guy who got a little bit aggressive about it at one of my meetings, I said, you know, you can buy aftermarket safeties for Glocks if you want to, and I think that's what this guy did, and he knew it was BS, but you know. What am I going to tell him?
Nothing. So thank you. Well, we have a question we'd like to ask all our authors, and because the name of the show is The Writer's Block, we ask our authors, have you ever had writer's block? And if you have, what did you do to get over it? And if you haven't had it, well, then I guess you're clear.
I don't have writer's block, and I never have had it, and I think that comes from newspaper training where you're not allowed to have it. I mean, they can't have a reporter who sits there, stares at his computer and says, you know, I'm blocked. I had a friend who was also named Chuck Logan, who's written a half a dozen novels, had a movie made and stuff. We were giving a talk at a junior college someplace, and a woman stood up and she said, "How do you deal with writer's block?" And Chuck said, "What do you do?" And she said, "Well, I'm the college president." And he said, "Well, what do you do when you have college president block?" And the thing is,
that's very clever.
It's really good.
Well, if you want to be a serious, one of the things you have to do if you want to be a serious best-selling writer is you have to keep the momentum going,
mm-hmm.
and you have to turn out a book every year. You're not allowed to have writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
I think writer's block most often occurs when people are writing literary books, and they feel that they must have something important to say, but they no longer have anything important to say.
So if you're writing a thriller novel,
if you're writing a genre novel, all you really have to do is come up with a villain, and there you are. That's your book.
I love bad guys. Bad guys are cool.
And then to those that have been listening so far today, the other thing would be, if you are suffering from writer's block, just introduce a character that walks in with a gun.
There you go. If he gets stuck, he walks in with a gun.
And the words will flow.
Well, John, we're going to have to say goodnight to you. If you want to give out email addresses or your website, I know I spent a good part of today and yesterday on your website, as did Bobby Jean and Richard.
My website is just johnsanford.org, and it is, and, you know, come and look at it. It's got a lot of interesting stuff on it.
It does.
And when I finally go, you know, for the Grammy, the song will be on the website.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
And your tour schedule is there.
And your upcoming book schedule is there. And your books can be found at Amazon and all the online markets, book markets, and as I like to say, all the airports. I mean,
yes.
I love going into airport bookstores because if I need a book, I always go for one of yours. So,
yeah, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you're very welcome. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us tonight, John. It was a hoot having you.
Okay.
And we,
thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And it was just wonderful having you. And again, thank you for your time. And have a good evening. And we're out of here. Well, we're not, but you are.
Oh.
Good night, John. Thank you. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, that was John Sanford.
That's fascinating.
We actually got to talk to John Sanford.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, did you ever see the movie Bye Bye Birdie?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I was Ed in it, actually.
Sullivan. John Sanford.
There you go. It was a great read.
Oh, yeah. Good book.
Oh, my gosh. Wonderful.
Good book. All his books are like that, though. They're wonderful. So good. They're easy reads. They're fast. Because there's so much going on.
Oh, yeah.
And his characters are so good.
These are great characters and interesting situations.
Yes, yes. And there's some that, grab some books.
Because you would expect somebody who's written 28 books to never have had writer's block.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Especially when you have to kick one a year.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this weekend, Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. Be open 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Saturday, 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Sunday. And, of course, we will be at the Buckaroo Buckshop over by the Buckaroo Stage.
Out West Stage.
And this year we lost Michael Blake, got the flu. He can't make it with us. But we do have Richard and myself will be there both days. C. Courtney Joyner will be there both days. J.R. Sanders will be there Saturday and Sunday until 2, and that's going to be, I'm going to say, maybe a little questionable because J.R. just lost his brother the other day. Eric Heisner, Al Bringus, both days. Bob Brill, both days. Dale Jackson, Saturday only. Johnny D. Boggs, Saturday and Sunday. Katie Ryan, Sunday only. Peter Chirico, Saturday only. So there we have it.
Henry Park will be roaming around
with his leather hat. And his cowboy shirt is probably the black one, the one you got for him. That actually looks a lot like that one.
We'll see what he wears this
Bobby
year.
Jean and Jim Bell will be there on Saturday only, and then they're heading back to Albuquerque.
Yes.
David Veal will be there, and Richard and I will be there at the Buckaroo Bookstop, so we'll please stop by and see us. And it's just great having Bobby Jean in this studio. It's just so
I don't think Richard spoke very much tonight. I didn't hear a lot of questions from
Richard.
Well,
he just kept nodding and smiling.
I'm just going to, when the guest is on a roll, I get out of the way.
Well,
that's my philosophy.
I understand that, but.
You almost have to because, you know, some guests are just really good, and he was really good. I'm thrilled that we had him.
I also realized my big question was a big giveaway, and I didn't want to do spoilers, so I just kind of threw it out the window. I don't like doing spoilers.
Did you ever read more of The Last Lonely Trail?
I'm still only about halfway through because I was reading John Sanford. And I have been posting on Facebook. If you go to the Writer's Block Facebook page, I've been posting quite a bit over the last couple weeks.
Yes, you have been.
Making sure that every author or two authors together, that you see their pictures of their books, and helps you kind of get an idea. We're saying the names here,
right.
But it just gives you a little bit
right.
of an idea
right.
of who
and
you're going
you're
to see there.
You're such a good mom.
Well, this is near and dear to our heart. This is a venue. This would have been our 10th year leading
yes.
it and organizing it, and we left it in such capable hands.
Well, it
but
still
it's really,
is your 10th
well,
year.
Well, it is, but it still was kind of hard. You know, we wanted to just keep doing what we always did to
yeah.
help promote it.
Yeah.
And we know how time can fly as
oh,
you get close for
God.
Those of you that are really involved in it. So
January was here. I was having meetings with David, and
right.
all of a sudden it's now it's April 19th.
Yeah. So I will continue to post, you know, right through probably Saturday, just to be sure that everything's covered.
Very cool.
And, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah, Richard and I are going to be there tomorrow morning around 9, going to be setting up the booth.
And I'll probably wander down there about 10:30 or
yeah.
so, having breakfast with a friend at the way station, and then I'm going to make my way over there just to kind of
yeah.
check in and see what's
we're just
what's happening.
Go,
run into a lot of friends
things up
in the city.
And hang our new banner. We have a brand new banner.
Yeah.
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 And it's 4x4. It's
very
nice.
Cool.
It's big. It's
very
big.
Cool.
They're not nice and sharp, too, for that size.
Yes.
Yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah, well, I gave them like 700 DPI pictures. So they had to be sharp.
I know. David's got his truck loaded, ready to pull out
well,
tomorrow morning.
All we have to do is throw some books in the back and a hand truck, and we're out of there.
Okay.
And if you are coming to the festival, besides the Buckaroo Bookshop, there is really first-rate entertainers
yes.
on 5 stages, including, if you want to talk about the written word, 2 poets. Waddy Mitchell will be there. Gary Robertson will be there. A dear friend of ours that just was on American Idol, Kristen Harris, is performing. Joe Harrington. Who's been a guest on the show. Another guy that just celebrates the written word with Joe. He will be performing. So besides visiting with the authors, there's vendors, there's cobbler, there's Civil War reenactors.
Cobbler.
So go check out cowboyfestival.org
yes.
to get the whole rundown on the festival.
They'll give you everything. And this year, admission to the Cowboy Festival is free. So make sure you grab the kiddies and the wife and
yeah, there's kids
come on
activities.
Down to Newhall.
There's just, it's really fun.
And
it's
if
really
you do,
fun.
Please stop by and say hello.
Yeah.
We love our fans. Okay, that pretty much kills another Thursday. Another thank you to John Sanford for joining
Definitely.
Us for tonight. Richard, always good to, well, you and I are just,
yeah,
Bobby Jean, wonderful.
Happy to see you back in the studio.
Happy to have
hey,
you back in the saddle.
This is a pretty nice chair.
They're brand new.
Yeah.
Now you know why I was trying to switch chairs.
Sam's
yeah.
taking care of us. Good to see you and Jim back in the studio tonight. So for LA Talk Radio, the Writer's Block, for myself, Jim Christina, Richard Polinelli, and of course, Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, we are pretty much out of here. Good show, guys. Ha ha ha.